Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to QSO. It's all about ham radio. I'm Ted Randall, and this is an unusual show in that the day before the Huntsville Ham Fest had a bright idea. Why not do an oldies show in the lobby of the Embassy Suites Saturday night after the Ham Fest and invite everybody to come along and sit down and talk and tell stories and tales? Just build a campfire in the lobby of the Embassy Suites and just have a big informal time and everyone have fun. Well, we made the announcement, and that's exactly what we did, and that's what this broadcast is. So stay tuned. Here it comes on QSO.
New generation of hams. It's, and I have a lot of people always tell me, oh, the internet killed ham radio. The internet helped ham radio. Because now you get the people that are involved in the internet looking at Amateur Logic, finding Tom's podcast, finding you guys, and they're on their computer, but all of a sudden they see all of these connections. I think it's great because it has brought people into the hobby. In today alone, I've had at least a dozen guys come to me, and because of Ham Nation, because of Amateur Logic, they mentioned that a couple of different guys, because of all that, they got their license, and that's just wonderful. I had two people come in, they're testing here today, and they had gotten their license, and both of them were introduced to ham radio through Ham Nation. One of them followed Leo, so they follow Leo, bingo, they get the rest of it, and that there's a whole generation, I think, and it's not an age generation. I think it's just the internet users are finding ham radio through that.
Hey Bob, I went in the youth group today. They were doing robotics in there.
Yeah, was that cool?
Did you see it, man? We did a webcast from there, and let me tell you, I mean, these are young kids, man. I mean,
yeah.
You know, and you're right. The internet's bringing that on. The technology's changing. Man, Bob, when I was growing up, I had a basketball and a football, and we stayed out in the backyard. You know, I don't know about you. What? Tell us about your
right
start.
Right across the aisle from us, they had a booth.
Yeah.
And Dr. Oh, what was his name? Oh, golly, he was kind of the leader of this thing. Do you know the guy? He's a doctor, like psychology or something. What was it? Anyway, he came over and we were talking, and they had their 3D printer, and they've been making things.
Oh, I saw that, yeah.
Yeah, and they were right there, so I watched them
all
day today.
I asked him, I said, what frequency do you use to communicate? This little kid looked like he's about 4 years old, you know. So what frequency do you use to communicate? Oh, well, we use Bluetooth, and he started describing it, you know, kind of like your Bluetooth mic adapter that you've got,
right. Yeah. Well, it's just an amazing thing that I think's happening to ham radio, and all of this is at the center of it, which is great. 10 years ago, it wouldn't have happened.
Well, I think the other thing too is the fact that when you expose more of the hobby in more detail, people can actually sit and watch George. You know, Bernie's fingers.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, when you can actually see the project underway and all that kind of thing, and you hear somebody describe something, you have a guest on a show. I know I had a guy on from the Morse Telegraph Club, and I was amazed because these fellows they're not even doing CW on the air. They're doing it on their own private network.
That's right.
Of clickers and clangers and all kinds of things like that, you know. And he was on. And, I mean, I got a whole bunch of email from people saying, I want to try that. I want to get involved in that. So that was listen, I think Martin's about ready to leave here. I don't know. Are you leaving?
Your final salutations, Martin.
Yeah, you've been here with us all the evening, and we really enjoyed having you. Are you really taking off at this point? Or
Ted, after having squeezed so many of those lime slices, it just has completely worn me out. And I have enjoyed being with all of you guys but I think I have had so much fun tonight with you guys that I needed to save a little bit of energy for tomorrow morning.
Oh,
thank you very much for inviting me to visit with all of y'all.
Well, we've enjoyed having you here, sir. And
good night.
We'll have you back again soon. And thank you very much, sir, for the company that you run and all the toys and the catalogs that we can thumb through and all that sort of thing.
Amazing company.
Thanks for all you do for amateur radio.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of amazing company, this is for Bob Heil. This is for Bob Heil here. Eric in Rigby, Idaho, he said he's got the Heil headset. I don't know which one. You had a couple out, hadn't you? Yeah. Anyway, he says he loves it. And we got Charles here in Franklinville, New York, said hello.
All right. Well, greetings to all of you. Glad you're listening on shortwave. That's great. Wonder what kind of receiver they're using.
Oh, there's a lot.
Yeah.
There's a lot.
We've had a number of them.
Me too. Yeah.
What's some of the receivers they mentioned tonight, Tom? Can you remember? I can't remember. It runs in.
You know, we talked about a lot of the old ones, the SX, what is it, like SX-40s or 140s,
yeah.
Or
yep.
A lot of those, you know, the Hammerlin stuff.
HQ-110 and, yep, Hammerlin 170, those are great receivers and still are. Yeah.
I bet you there's somebody out there listening to a Halicrafters S-38.
Yeah, there you go.
Got that whole series going for
you.
We
got a guy on our morning, we get on a 38-85 in the mornings. And there's a guy on there that uses an S-38 for a receiver. And there's all kinds of stuff. There's usually about from 10 to 15 people. It just depends on the day, what everybody's doing, for about an hour. And some of the wildest array of equipment.
We have that same thing on the East Coast, too.
Yeah.
Old AM gear.
Yeah.
I'm an AMer. I love AM. I've been doing it for many, many, many years.
It's where I spend a lot of my time these days, but... I'm always amazed that he's using an S-38. And there were many versions of the S-38.
Yes. ABC, there's a plain one, and all the way up to D looked the same.
Right.
Then they had the S-38E, which had more of a slide rule.
Nah, that ain't the real deal.
Okay.
Oh, no, I'm just kidding. But the one, they all looked alike. But I think the best one is the D, as far as that series.
Yes. Yeah. Great.
Well, you know, I'll tell you, I had an SX-100, you know.
Yeah, now that's a receiver.
Okay, and I kept it around. But what has amazed me now, we talk about shortwave radio, and a lot of folks, you know, act like, well, you know, you've got to have this big radio. But today, the bulk of the people listening are listening on these. Radio's about this size.
Right.
Ted's holding up. Everybody take a look at that. Listen.
That's a radio that's about 4 inches wide.
Looks like,
half an inch deep, and maybe
like an iPhone.
Maybe three inches high. Very small little radio.
Yeah, this is the Sea Crane Skywave, and it just blows me away. I was up in the hotel room, and I could actually pick up 5085 sitting in the hotel room on this, and I tried my little Grundig. It was dead as a wedge inside this hotel. We couldn't hear anything. You know, it's totally deaf.
Wow.
And this thing, I don't know. It's got a DSP chip in it. It's got NOAA. It's got aircraft band, shortwave.
Yeah.
It goes 2.6 to 26 megahertz.
Wow.
And that was one of the things that used to bother me about a little shortwave radios was the band selects, because with a band select, it gives you a pre-selected band, and the station you want to hear is always outside of that band.
Yeah, right.
You know? So, anyways. Well, tell us what's new with Heil. It's no longer Heil Microphones. It's Heil Media, Heil Sound. you know, but I mean, you've got so many different things. You got the headsets. You got different things.
Yeah,
obviously, he was mentioning Bluetooth. What's new? What are we looking at?
The major thing is the new Pro 7 headset. It's really become a prime factor with operators. It's a David Clark headset done right. David Clark was made for the military, and they are just horrible as far as comfort. The microphones didn't sound very good, but they didn't care. They were made for military. And for amateur radio, we had to We had to bump this up a little bit and raise the bar, and that's exactly what we did. And there's several companies that's tried to copy it, but they didn't do a very good job of it. And yet they're expensive, really expensive. And we were 2 years in this project, and it's a wonderful product. We really are proud of it. It's got interchangeable elements for different types of radios and all kinds of things. Phase reversal on the speakers, so you can move things in your head acoustically. Now, that's a pretty cool thing.
Oh, yeah.
And nobody's doing that. And we just reverse the phase between the speakers, and you'll listen to a pile up of guys, and you switch that phase, and one will come forward and the rest will go back. It's really hard to describe because it sounds like that's not possible. Yeah, it is. It's all an acoustic platform that your head is in the middle of. So.
Let me tell you, I was working at a radio station, and everybody couldn't figure out why the disc jockeys were so loud over the music, you know.
Yeah.
So I was pulling an air shift, and I plugged my headphones in, and I noticed they're out of phase. It didn't matter how high I turned the volume control up on the mic. I just couldn't get loud enough.
Right.
So we reversed the phase on the console back to normal.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, everybody started turning the mic pot down, and it didn't sound so crazy on the air anymore.
Yeah. Well,
so
you have to think about it like this. If you have a home theater system, and you have a left and a right and a center and rear. Now, wait a minute. Your DirecTV receiver, your DVD, whatever, has two wires, left and right. How are they getting four channels discrete out of those two feeds? And very few people think about that. It's like, oh, I plug it in, it works. Yeah, well, how does it work? How it works is the fact that in the studio, when they record the films or record the whatever, music, they do a left and right record. But then they do the orchestra and all of this. But then they bring Indiana Jones into the voice booth, and that microphone that he talks on is out of phase. And when they enter it back in to the receiver knows that and picks that out of phase signal up and put it in the center channel. That's how it works. And people don't think about that, because you have two wires. You have that red one and that white one. How are you getting four channels out of that? It's all about phasing, and I learned that early on, and we now use it to move signals around in your head.
Well, you know, when I was younger, I took two identical receivers, and I put one on the frequency I wanted to listen to, and I took the other one and moved it slightly off that frequency.
Uh-huh.
And then I took the two hot wires coming out
and
did what I guess you'd call it, you know, left minus right is what it is, you know. And the static disappeared. The static crashes from the lightning went completely away.
Right.
And all was left was the signal. And I thought, why isn't somebody doing this? You know,
I mean,
of course, it took two radios, you know. And then the TR switch had to be really complicated at that point because you had to turn two receivers off.
Sure.
But then go back to the time when we had, what was it, SQ? Quadraphonic sound.
Right.
You know, that was all done by means of phase relationships, you know.
Right.
I remember taking and connecting a speaker in back and going across the two hot terminals of my amp, you know, and it gave you this strange spatial sound. But if you played one of those quadraphonic albums, it really and truly...
Quadraphenia.
Yeah. You would hear things in back and in front and all that, you know.
We had quite an experience with that in 74. We were out with the Hoot we'd been out for 3 years, and Townsend wanted to do the live sound system, and he wanted to know if I could build it so he could move Roger's voice around an arena. We're talking 15,000-seat arenas, and we did it. We built the first quadraphonic system, and we did Quadraphenia on that first tour, and that gear is now in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
I was just going to say, it's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah, because that was a big deal. And how did I knew to do that? Two things, ham radio first, and being able to listen, and I learned that through voicing pipe organs. I was a theater organist, still am. And all the harmonics that we have to do in voicing, not just the tuning of the pipes, but the voicing between each one, beside it, so on. And that those two things are how I was able to do all this. I'm not an engineer. I'm just a ham. I got a soldering iron like George.
But, see, the thing is that you give credit to the hobby. And this is, I think this is so cool. Because when people are listening, they're thinking, really? I mean, really? I mean, because you're a ham and you knew this because of amateur radio?
Absolutely.
A lot of folks don't realize that really is
the
case.
There are so many things that we would not have if it wasn't because of amateur radio. Why? Because television, the engineers that invented television back in the 30s, maybe 20s it started, they were hams. They weren't afraid to try anything. Engineers, I hope I don't offend any engineers here, but most of them are like, they'll figure out the formulas and they'll tell you, well, X squared over or whatever gives you this. A ham will say, give me a box of resistors and a solder iron. Let's see if it works. And I continually tell people, they'll say, well, I don't know. I don't have the formula. I said, put the dumb thing up and on the air and see if it works. Don't worry about the theory of it. You got to get close. But play with it. Experiment. And you might be really surprised. That's how the VCR was made. There are so many things. In 1989, I was, the whole decade of 80s, I was one of the largest satellite dealers in the country. In 1989, Heil Sound was voted and given this award as the Satellite Dealer of the Year. That year, Stanley Hubbard of the Hubbard family in Minnesota, one of the premier broadcast families, the history is rich on the Hubbard family, he had bought the license for the first K-band, 1985. Well, since he was the first guy to do that, he could pick out where he wanted the satellite to be, and he did it dead south. In 1990, he started putting things together with RCA, Sony, General Motors, and the Hubbard family, and it became DirecTV. And in 91, we erected a little 2-foot dish into my backyard, and I was on the test team for Stanley Hubbard, and they would shoot signals out of Minneapolis on K-band, and we would start seeing things happen. That became, in 1994, DirecTV, and I was one of the first stores that sold DirecTV. That's when you had to pay $600 for the receiver and the installation and all that. And we outsold Sears the first quarter that Heil Sound in Sperry Heights, Illinois. But I was so involved in that procedure that we could get all of the gear from RCA and stuff. But there again, all of that crazy stuff that was going on in those days to experiment with that, most of us were hams. And it was Bob Cooper, W5KHT, was the guy that we used to go down to his backyard in the late 70s. He'd gotten this big dish from the surplus, would take a coffee can, remember when coffee came in cans, and he taught us how to build the original low noise amplifier, and we could see 22,000 miles up HBO. And HBO didn't even know that. That's a whole wild story of Bob Cooper. And he started, and most, we'd have 10, 12, 15 people in his backyard in Oak City in those days. We were all hams. Who else but a ham could figure out silly stuff like that? Engineers, oh, now wait a minute, you got, okay. But it was the ham radio, and it's W5KHT. Yeah.
You know, Bob, I did some of the things you're talking about there. I guess you're familiar with the spherical antenna. Hey, you remember that? So we built up a 14-foot square spherical antenna. It had wood on it, and we pulled it into that, you know, the angle iron with bolts.
Yeah, right.
We put chicken wire over it.
That's right.
The feed horn set 1.5 times the distance out from the
right.
from the dish,
that's right.
If you call it a dish. We used a little antenna rotor to turn the polarity.
That's right.
And the neat thing was, you didn't turn that big, I call it a dish. You didn't turn the dish. You moved the feed point. Move it over 3 or 4 feet and down a couple, you know.
Absolutely.
That was some fun times.
Until
that was when HBO had not scrambled yet.
That's right. This was all before that.
Oh, yeah. I guess us hams, we had a lot of fun, and maybe we helped a lot of people, but we also wasn't getting HBO any money for that.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Hey, here's something here. Maybe Bob knows what this is. Steve in Riverside, California, I think he's listening on a 1938 RCA 816K. Does that ring a bell for anybody?
RCA made some really cool receivers in those days. Yeah, that was a good one.
Is that the shutter dial receiver, I think it might be?
Yeah. I'm not sure about that particular one, but they built one like that.
So let me read these real quick. We got Bill in Orlando, Florida, saying hello. And Ted, I guess when Bob came, you guys woke everybody up because there's a list here. Renee woke up here in Syracuse, New York. We got James in Lake Geneva, Wisconsin. Bobby in Pensacola, Florida.
Wow.
William is emailing from Gettysville, New York.
Wow.
And John in North Augusta, South Carolina.
Mm.
So what we did is we repealed the request for oldies tonight. We said we'll do shout-outs, and the oldies that we have on are stories.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're telling oldies stories. And that's, of course, people love hearing all that stuff.
They love.
You know, let me ask you a question. I mean, what's the, you know, I know this sounds, I don't want you to give away trade secrets, but how did you ever come up with exactly how to baffle these microphones so that they sound the way they do? I've told the story. I've told it more than once about the first time I saw an RE20 compared to his PR40 or even the PR30. And, you know, I honestly thought maybe the RE20 was damaged. I actually thought that. I thought there's got to be something wrong with this thing, you know.
Yeah.
And then Matt came. If you remember, because I'll never forget this. Matt was in this music store. You were doing some kind of presentation, and he got there a little late, and there was this RE20 sitting there. He said, well, what's he doing with an RE20? I said, I don't know, but compare these mics. And so he talked into the RE20, and then he picked up the PR30 and started talking into it, you know. And then he says, did Bob drop the RE20 or something? Bob is sitting there, and he looks over at Matthew. He'll go stare a hole through him. How dare you, you know? Even so, my first PR40 that I got, I'm this is no joke. Holly will tell you. I had purchased 4 brand-new RE20s, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Why did I buy them? Just used to using them. That's the only. So the first PR40 came. I plugged it into the console, spoke into the mic with the headphones on, and I thought, wow, is this thing dynamic? And I was hearing high frequencies. I was hearing low frequencies, you know. And it would respond to your voice, you know. Unplugged it, plugged the RE20 in, and I thought, it has asthma or something worse, you know.
Yeah.
So, and I know I talked to you, and you said, I don't know what creates this dynamic effect that this mic has, but I will say this. If a guy gets into the broadcast business, or he's in the broadcast business, and he winds up one of these microphones, he has got to give it a little time, and he has to learn how to use it, because it is a different world.
Yeah.
But I'm able to create voice sounds and voiceover sounds with this mic that you can't do. I don't care what kind of processing you throw in line. If the microphone doesn't have it, it ain't there.
Well, that's the whole deal. All these other microphones, the RE20 was developed back in 1965, and they haven't changed it. The only thing they've done is they now are building it in China, which really, really irks me, because I knew Al Kahn. Al Kahn was a ham. Did you know Al Kahn, George?
I didn't know him, though.
Yeah, Al was a great ham, and there again, it's amateur radio. He started Electrovoice. In fact, there's a cute story I'll tell you about that. But anyway, now the company's owned by some other company. I think they build wash machines or something, and they moved it to China. I bought one recently. I buy a new one every once in a while because I demo them. And they're right on the box, made in China. That really made me sad, because that was not his dream, I'm sure. But we wanted to build a better product. And all of the things we're doing is new technology. And we're so fortunate that we've got great broadcasters. We've got just hundreds of great leading professional musicians, from Carrie Underwood to Joe Walsh and all these great musicians, Charlie Daniels. All these guys are using our products because they sound better. They don't use them for the name. A lot of people are hung up on a name. And most of these things are sold today because of two reasons: habit and ego. That's it. They don't listen. The performance is taken out of it. So we're bringing new technology, and we came up with the large diaphragm, which was a tough thing to do. Several companies have tried it and failed, and it was Joe Walsh and I that figured it out at his kitchen table. It's a true story. I built it, and because he wanted me to build him a big microphone, and just kind of a joke I did, and it didn't work. And I took it to him. We're sitting there, and I told him, we went down in his studio, listened to it. No, it didn't have transient response. It didn't have dynamic range because of this big diaphragm. He and I figured out what the problem was and fixed it. Two hams, not engineers, not million-dollar labs, and that's why. And then we came up. I had at one time, I had a 128-element 2-meter antenna. That's another story for another day.
And folks can see that on the Internet.
Yeah.
And where can they
go? Just go to my QRZ page.
Okay.
Just QRZ and put my call in there, K9EID, and you'll see pictures of some of those early things. But it had tremendous front to back. And Joe never forgot that. He had heard it one time when he was coming through the St. Louis area, and this is years ago now, in the 60s. And we were playing with this microphone. He says, "Hey, remember that big antenna you had?" And I said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, make a microphone work like that." He said, "I got to have some things that don't hear from the back, because none of these do. The RE20, the Shures, they don't have any front to back. Oh, they have maybe 10 dB. And we applied phasing that I learned from that antenna. Paul Klipsch was another incredible monitor. We could be here for hours telling you the stories that I learned from Paul Klipsch coming to visit me and putting me under his wing. But it was all about phasing and ham radio that I was able to come up with this ridiculous 40 dB of rear, which is, it hasn't been matched today. So here again, we're talking about the same thing. It's ham radio that's designed so many things.
Now, if you look at the PR40, okay, and you look at a lot of microphones, microphones have a lot of crazy things on them. You look at them, there's a little thing here and a little thing there, and you think, does this work? Does that work? Most of the time, they don't. Most of the time, it's just a crazy thing. It's there to look good. But, you know, one thing that I couldn't resist is I was sitting in the studio, and I was wondering, why is there all this baffle or screen, if you want to call it, on the back end of the PR40? So I took my hand,
right,
you know, and if you cup your hand around a PR40, it sounds like you're talking into, well,
an RE20.
Actually, it sounds better than an RE20, but yep, it sounds like you may have moved into sight of a paper cup,
right,
or something. So in other words, what my point is, all this baffling on the outside or this screen,
well,
it does something. It actually is
really
working.
That really is,
you know,
part of the rear rejection and the phasing. Every other microphone has little holes around the side of the element, right below where you speak into. That's what they use to get and capture the rear rejection. And that's out of phase. It goes into the phasing plug. We needed more. We wanted a lot. So what we did is there's a column in here, and the element sits on top of that column. The column's about a half inch wide, and the whole bottom of the element is open. And the rear and side information comes up into the screens on the side and come into the bottom 360 out of phase. That's how we're getting all of that rejection.
Well, I know that just cupping my hands across it, I thought, I don't know what I'm doing, and I don't know exactly why this sound changes the way it did, but I thought once I got that that baffle block. I thought, well, this wouldn't be too bad of a DX microphone.
You can actually. There you go. Oh, that's great. Yeah, a lot of stuff going on in that, and the PR30, same way. Most people grab it and think it's a condenser. No, I despise condensers. There's no excuse for a condenser. They're too sensitive. They pick up the whole room.
Yes, feedback like we've heard tonight. Yes. Thank you, condenser microphone.
And so we don't need those. But nobody's ever done a dynamic that would equal or better a condenser. That's been the key. But we're changing things. We really are. It's a blessing.
Well, you know, one thing that impressed me, too, is I used to do, and I still do, but, I mean, I used to be out in the field doing interviews, holding a microphone. And I bought this mic from you some time ago. I don't know. But the cable on this thing is totally silent. In other words, you can move the cable around. And, how many times have radio guys have been in an interview, and the guy you're talking to is sitting there, and he's doing this number
playing
here
with the cable.
And if you notice, this PR40 is pretty silent. It doesn't hear that.
No.
And they'll do things like this. They'll drum on the cable.
You know?
And on most mics, it sounds like elephants running across, you know, wherever you're at.
Right.
But that's the stuff I've noticed. And a lot of times, I think what happens is we really don't have enough time to talk about these things in detail.
Right.
You know, we get on the air and we talk for a few minutes about this and that, and I even know on Ham Nation, you guys move through that thing like lickety split, and you can't, but you really can't actually sit down and talk. Now, what's really cool is a fellow like Bob Allison that does all these tests. He tests everything, you know. And it's cool to sit down and talk to him and say, hey, you know, but we've never really had a chance to do that. I think that would be cool. I really do, you know, because I think the details are the things that are missing. You know, like, for example, in ham radio, you're wanting to manipulate the frequency response of the microphone in order to achieve a certain effect or a certain thing.
Right.
And those things are details that I think until a ham hears you explain it, they haven't got a clue.
Yeah, that's true.
And I remember your description, something about some mic that's a good DX mic. It makes it sound like your shorts are too tight. And so I'm assuming that is, you're referring to the restricted response.
Right.
That concentrates the, in, just
well,
into
that
the
all,
intelligence.
That, go, that all goes back to the Fletcher-Munson curve of your ear. And it's really sad because that should be the second question in the pool of questions to get a ham radio license. They don't teach us the things we really need to know. Paul Klipsch taught me. He taught me a ton of things, and those should all be first. They do all this political nonsense to get you licensed. No, I don't need all that. You need to know why things happen. Fletcher Munson is the number one. What is that? Dr. Fletcher and Dr. Munson worked for Bell Labs in the 30s when the telephone system went up. It didn't work. They couldn't figure it out. So they put Fletcher and Munson on it. What was the problem? It wasn't a telephone system. It was your ears. And they found out our ears are not even close to flat. Well, they are if you're up at 120 dB. That's why kids like to listen to music loud, because they hear all the cymbals, they hear all the guitars, they hear all the bass. But down at levels like this, your ears are totally full of holes. So you have to equalize things. You have to pay attention to that. And when you listen then for articulation, now articulation is the golden part of what Heil sound does. And I learned that from ham radio, but it was driven home to me by Paul Klipsch why I did it. I did it because I knew it sounded right from all my pipe organ tuning and voicing. Those frequencies were there. Well, it's all about the fact that the difference of an S and a B, an S and an F, a P and a B, if you don't have the right balance, and balance is the key word, of some of those frequencies from 2K to 4K, it's all just going to be mush. That's why when we're trying to cut a pile up, we don't care about fidelity. Roll everything off at 600 cycles. It's the worst sounding microphone in world, but you punch up 2 to 4K, about 10 dB, and we do that. in one of our element. It is the worst. This is Bob Heil talking. It is the worst sounding microphone God ever could create. But hundreds of thousands of them are out there. Why? Because it's the number one tool for the DX crowd. They don't have to do anything but put in one of our elements, and the new HC7 is one of those also, and you plug it into your radio, and you're going to cut through because all of your power, your bandwidth, is right there where your ears are screaming to understand the articulation. Nobody ever talks about this. Why? I don't understand that.
Well, I don't either.
Well,
but how many times? Go ahead.
That's because a lot of engineers understand that, but the people that get into the radio, they don't have a clue about that kind of curve. They don't understand that part.
Well, it's not flat.
No, it's not flat, but
want it to be flat. I have to have that coloration.
You got to have that punch.
That's right. Every one of our microphones, including the PR40, they all have a slight rise.
Right.
I learned that from ham radio, and it's one of the reasons that the RE20 and the SM7, and you name them, you drag them in here. I've already done it for you. Trust me, believe me, they sound flat and mushy.
This Do you have any idea how I felt after purchasing four RE20s?
Well, you probably went to eBay the next week with them.
Actually, I gave you one of them,
yeah,
and you gave me a PR40
that's
in return.
Right. We traded it. That's
I said, I don't want this thing. I've got no use for it. You know, now I don't, you know.
Hey, excuse me a minute. I got to make a quick run.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to QSO, and what you're listening to is a big old campfire in the lobby of the Embassy Suites in Huntsville, Alabama, that followed the Huntsville Ham Fest. So you'll just have to stay tuned and listen. Now, we're going to get right back to this, and we'll tell you more about it right after this. How about a very, very selective and very sensitive portable shortwave radio that you can fit in the palm of your hand? That's right, a shortwave radio that's got also a very hot AM section on it, picking up distant AM stations that you wouldn't know were there. An FM receiver that's really nice, an FM stereo built in, the aircraft band, so you can listen to the control tower and the pilots coming in. And also, of course, a very hot shortwave. A shortwave receiver that receives from 2.3 to 26 megahertz continuous with variable audio bandwidth switching. How about also NOAA weather included on this radio? That's right. You can hold it in the palm of your hand. It's not much bigger than a pack of cigarettes. It's called the SkyWave. We've been talking about this. And if you're a shortwave listener, you just can't live without one of these things. 400 memories. It comes with the power adapter, the earbuds. It's got a USB connector on the side for charging batteries, and it'll go 60, 70 hours on a pair of AA batteries. Is this all true? Yes, it is. We've accused Bob Crane of using voodoo to create this radio. Why don't you give the Sea Crane Company a call? But before you do, mention WTWW, and you'll get the free retractable shortwave antenna that you can attach to the radio through a jack on the side and extend the antenna way out, or you can get the CC quick charger, which is a battery charger. It charges AA, AAA, CD, shows you the status of the battery, shuts off automatically when it's fully charged, and you can charge all your USB devices with this thing, including your cell phone. That can be free as well. It depends on what you want. Do you want the antenna or do you want the CC quick charger? All you got to do is mention WTWW. Now, why is that important? Because the folks at Sea Crane want to know where the orders are coming from, because they're the ones that's bringing you the Art Bell Show on shortwave. And for them to continue this effort of this wonderful thing of midnight in the desert on a big, powerful shortwave radio station, they just want to know that you're patronizing them by ordering your shortwave radios from them. This SkyWave is unbelievable. You can get a hold of the Sea Crane Company by dialing 1-800-522-TUNE. That's 1-800-522-TUNE or 1-800-522-8863. It's 1-800-522-8863. And mention WTWW. Or you can simply go to seacrane.com. Here at QSO, we hear success story after success story. We hear excited people telling us they just got their ticket using Ham Test Online. That's right. This is the easiest, most concise, as well as fastest method to get that ticket in your hand. Ham Test Online. No thick books to read, no DVDs, no CDs to wade through, no studying for hours and hours and then forgetting what you studied, and no irrelevant information that you have to wade through in order to get to the things that are really on the test. Ham Test Online. Now, if you've already upgraded to Extra Class and you no longer need the services of Ham Test Online, we want you to think about this. Ham it forward. That's right. Ham it forward. Now, what is that? There's a lot of folks out there that would like to Elmer someone into the hobby, but you're not quite sure how to do it. Don't know if you could really tackle the project. There's folks out there that would like to teach a class of maybe three or four people or maybe larger, but you see that as a real undertaking. Don't know if you can quite handle that. Working with someone and getting them their ham ticket is one of the most satisfying things that you could do as a radio amateur and promote this hobby, moving it forward with new blood. That's why we have Ham It Forward. Now, this is a cooperative effort from Amateur Radio Roundtable, the QSO radio show, and the folks at Ham Test Online. All you have to do is get a subscription for a new prospective ham, and then just follow through with them a little bit and let Ham Test Online take them through the steps and get their ticket painlessly, easy, and fun. Keep this in mind. It's a new program. We're calling it Ham It Forward. We'd love for you to participate in this. Everybody knows someone that they would love to get into the hobby. Give a gift. Give the gift of the ham radio, amateur radio hobby by Ham It Forward. Go to hamtestonline.com. That's hamtestonline.com. Or look on the QSORadioshow.com website.
Is it possible that a coffee roaster who has been blind from birth could make the best tasting coffee in the world? Well, I'm here to tell you that not only is it possible, but it's true. If you would like the most delightful, rich cup of coffee you have ever drank in your life, I'd like to invite you to visit the website of The Unseen Bean. That's The Unseen Bean, UNSEENBEAN, The Unseen Bean. Jerry Leary, amateur radio operator, shortwave listener, he is the owner of The Unseen Bean, one of the country's few blind coffee roasters. You will love his coffee. We want to invite you once again, go to his website, and that's theunseenbean.com. That's theunseenbean.com.
Here at the QSO Radio Show, we really need to hear from you. Go to our website. Simply QSORadioshow.com. That's QSORadioshow.com. And you'll see all the past podcasts up there and other information. But go to the part where it says email Ted and send us an email. And be sure and put on that email, I want to win, because always giving something away. Go to the website. It's simply QSORadioshow.com and send us an email. And while you're at it, be sure and friend us on Facebook, QSO Radio Show, and follow us on Twitter, QSO Radio Show. And thank you for listening. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the QSO Radio Show, and we're bringing you a playback of a live broadcast we did on WTWW at the Embassy Suites in Huntsville, Alabama. It was a last-minute idea to have an oldies show in the lobby of the Embassy Suites Saturday night following the Ham Fest and just have everyone gather around and tell stories and have a big time. Well, guess what? We didn't get a chance to play any oldies because the stories were just too good. So let's continue. Right now, you don't want to miss a minute of this broadcast from the Huntsville Ham Fest Embassy Suites Saturday night.
Ted, you were talking about the RE20 and how you thought it was broken. I had the same exact experience. I had an RE20 that was a few years old, and I always thought was a fantastic microphone. And I used it the first time I was on Ham Nation. And I went back and listened to the show. It just sounded muddy, just really, really muddy. Bob sent me a PR-30 to try. I put it beside the RE-20, and I said, my RE-20's broke. There's something wrong with it.
Yeah.
You know, the element must be bad. It, you know, it can't sound like this.
Well, when you have four brand new ones. Now, I'll tell you something else, and that is, and Holly will verify this, they all sounded different. Each one of those RE-20s had a completely different sounding response. When you'd plug them in and you'd listen on the headphones to record, one would be heavier on bass, one would be heavier on highs, some sounded muddy. I mean, it was just, you know, it was the bottom was there, but the highs were gone. And I thought, wait a minute, who's making these things? I mean, don't they test them somehow or something? Isn't there some uniformity, you know? Now, I will admit, I can hear a slight difference between two PR-40s, okay? Just a very, very slight difference. But I don't know that it would be possible, you know, on the planet to build something or a number of things that are absolutely identical. But you have to listen very, very close in order to hear that minute difference.
And you have to have an ear for that, too.
Right. And but the RE-20s, it's like just totally, completely different.
Yeah.
Well, Bob, one from the other, I guess, you know.
Bob was saying his microphones aren't flat, that you know, he doesn't like flat microphones. Well, there is one place for a flat microphone, and that's in measuring a room so that you can see what the response of a room is or a speaker or something. As far as reproducing voice or instruments, they always sound better with a certain curve to them. I mean, you want your gear to be as flat as possible, but if you go in a recording studio and look, they're choosing microphones based on what they sound like. I mean, you know from working on radio gear, you want your console to be flat. You don't want an EQ on it unless something's wrong. You don't want too many tools in the hands of your disc jockeys to mess
that,
things
and
up.
That's one of the things that I will have to say that I dislike about folks trying to use Mackie consoles and these recording studio type consoles inside of a radio production room.
Yep.
Because everyone's hearing is different.
That's right.
Everyone's taste is different.
Yep.
And when it comes to commercials and other things, I mean, I've seen folks even re-EQ music as they're recording it into the system. You know, and there's no bigger nightmare than that, because it's like then all of a sudden someone says, why does that song sound so strange, you know? Well, somebody thought it wasn't quite hot enough in the highs. They boost the highs up a little bit. They record it in. And then someone else who has, you know, that's another thing, too, and that I've always maintained that once a person hits about age 50, it's time to stop adjusting the audio processing at a radio station, because your hearing is gonna roll off slightly. And then I read an article that says that as we get older, especially if we get up to about age 50, we begin to perceive distortion that's not there. It's imaginary distortion or perceived distortion. So
that's where that came from.
You can sit and play and play and say, why can't I get this out? Where is this grunge coming from? But the grunge actually is not there. And one way you can check it is you immediately ask a younger person. You say, listen and tell me where you hear the grunge. And they'll tell you they hear it. Or they'll tell you that I don't hear any grunge. You know, and you're listening, and yet you hear the grunge. You know, so that's it. We were talking about something, Bob, now that you've rejoined the group here. And I was saying, as we get older, our hearing changes. You know, and that's why I say when you get, you know, my age, or as soon as you hit 50, you need to stop playing with the audio processing at a radio station. Because, you know, and I read an article that says that as we get older, our hearing changes to the point where we actually hear distortion that's not there. And a young person will say, I don't hear it. And yet we'll hear it, and we're trying everything under the sun to try to get rid of this grunge we're hearing, but it's a hearing anomaly. And, boy, that wouldn't drive you fruitcakes. I don't know. You know, I've had Tom sitting here, and I think he's getting ready to...
I'm just listening to you talking about those frequencies. You know, I remember when I was a kid, and my uncle had his TV shop, You know, Bob, I mean, we probably all heard that, what is it, 15,700 cycle horizontal oscillator.
Flyback, yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, yeah. I can't hear it anymore, so I can tell my ears have changed for sure. Hey, yeah, hey, we Holly just had a picture someone sent in. He's using an R390. That was Christopher, K6FIB, Salem, Oregon. Great reception tonight on a R390A. That's a nice receiver.
I have one of those on the lab.
Oh, man, yep. Yeah. So, Christopher, if you ever want to get rid of that, send it to me. Steven, there in Grand Rapids, was it Minnesota? Is that where Grand Rapids? Michigan.
Michigan,
oh, man. I got to learn my abbreviations here. Robert, Elk Grove, California, and Jay in San Francisco, California, all said hello tonight.
So it must be,
it seems like we got a late night crew coming on.
Oh, they are, because you figure we got Art Bell coming on at 11 o'clock every night during the week, you know. So
yeah.
They tune in and listen to the music show prior to him. And,
yeah.
And you know, and I guess it's still a little early out on the West Coast there. It looks like we got, you know, California and Oregon, and these people are starting to tune you in here.
No, the gray lines past them.
So I guess, you know, we were talking about the headset. You were talking about headsets. I notice, you know, we do engineering for a sports talk station, and these guys don't want anything to do with standalone microphones. They want a headset.
Right.
And so what's new in the headset department?
We have a big surprise coming for them. The Pro 7 is amazing. It has 26 dB of passive noise reduction. When you put them on, you don't hear the room. And they're very comfortable. I've wore them up to 10 hours just leaving them on. You got to adjust them. A lot of people don't understand that. They don't read the book. That's kind of cool. Yeah, right. But all of our headsets have a steel band inside the padded headband, and you can bend them. You shape them so that the earpieces you're not like having a vise on your head, but you get those adjusted right, and they're marvelous. But they will give you up to 26 dB of noise cancellation. But what we're working on then, it has an interchangeable element, one for the ICOM. The early ICOMs, you need special electrets. They have a lot of output. Everything past the Pro 1 in that series, they're fine with dynamics, but not the 735, 745s. And then they did a stupid thing. I'm sorry, ICOM, but you did a stupid thing. They reverted back to the old 20-year-old preamp in the 7200, the 7100, the 7000, and the 706. You got to have an electret to make those really play. But we have interchangeable elements, so you can do that. You can have different types. But we're working on one for sports broadcasting, and that's going to be a great piece.
I was going to say about commercial radio. And I'll tell you a little story out of school or whatever. Matt, of course, works for Dave Ramsey, and Dave has always had this favorite Sennheiser headset, combination earphones, microphone, and they quit making it.
Uh-huh.
And everything he's brought in there, you know, he's been able to find the old sets on eBay by hook or crook, or breaking into an older radio station,
yeah,
stealing them and then leaving. You know? But anyways, they haven't made Dave happy, you know, when he put them on.
Yeah.
So it'd be interesting to see how he would react to your new broadcast headset, because
yeah,
he likes the headsets. And I'll tell you what happened, though. We were doing some sports talk. We had it all set up. We had PR40s, and the guys were there with the headphones on, the PR40s and everything, and they just went on and on. No, got to have headsets. Got to have headsets, okay? So they replaced their own headsets. I don't know where they got them from. They got them. They put them on. And the first thing that happened is we started getting telephone calls and emails saying, why do these guys sound so bad? But they couldn't tell. I mean, they just, you know. And then I wonder sometimes about people's hearing. I mean, how critical is the actual, the human ear. I mean, people listen to MP3 audio, so it's like, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Yeah, it's just, it's really something to take one of the kids today and let them hear some vinyl with nice big clip speakers or stuff like that, and it's like, whoa.
Macintosh amplifier.
Right on.
Well, I was at a radio station in Clarksville, Tennessee. I had brought in a pair of Acoustat loudspeakers. I don't know if you're familiar with those or ever seen them. You know, they're not very efficient, but they look like doors on their sides. It's a piece of Mylar.
Right. It's a ribbon.
Yeah, and this Mylar's got charges up to 10,000 volts between them.
Right. But electrostatic.
Anyway, so I got the thing in, and I've got this Rega turntable with an exact cartridge, and I play a Fleetwood Mac vinyl album. And they're listening to it, and they're like, oh, wow, this sounds so cool. And I said, well, let's just do this. I pulled the same album out in the compact disc.
Oh, yeah.
Put it in the player, turned it on, started playing exactly at the same level. And they just got this distressed look on their face because it was like, what happened? You know. And I said, you know, I can't really tell you other than the fact that this is analog and this is digital. Now, there's no noise on this CD. It's dead quiet, okay? And we got a little noise, surface noise on the vinyl, but it's so musical, you know?
Yeah.
It sounds so musical, yeah. I mean, I guess is the best way.
Noise is part of it, right, Bob?
Oh, yeah. Your brain can filter that out,
yeah,
though,
absolutely.
After a while. You don't hear that.
No.
And that you have that richness, and you have that continuous amplification that goes on. It doesn't turn on and off.
Right.
It's there all the time. And it has that richness, and that's why...
Well, you know, vinyl records, we used to listen to them, and there was pops and clicks and things, and we just never paid any attention to it. You know, it just went right past us, you know?
Yeah.
You know, Ted, when you're talking about the clicks and pops here, you know, you're supposed to change a needle. You're not supposed to put a penny on top of the arm.
A quarter.
A quarter, yeah.
You had to go with a quarter, huh? Okay.
It's for those bumpy 78s.
Yeah. Or two quarters.
That's great.
I know George probably remembers the viscous damped tone arms in the radio stations. Well, Gray made those things, you know? And some of those things were huge. I mean, they were really big, really massive, I don't want to run anyone off, but I see Bob looking at his watch.
Yeah, I got to get going. I got to load up my case for tomorrow.
And I don't want to make anyone stay longer than they want to. If I wanted to do that, I would have brought some rope, and we'd have just tied you to the chair, you know?
Well, I want to say goodnight to everybody. Thanks for having me here, and sorry I couldn't be here all night, but here we are for a little bit, and we'll see you all down the pike somewhere.
Yep. Thank you very much, Bob. I really enjoyed the stories, and I learned an awful lot from you,
Robert.
Just sitting next to you. Thank you very much.
Well, I appreciate that. And I'm always available. Just send me an email, bob@hylesound.com, or put my call letter into QRZ, and you'll see it all.
You know, the folks that have the Society of Broadcast Engineer chapters in their cities, it would be a good thing to bring Bob in and let him talk about audio. I mean, it's television, radio, I don't care if you're working with cameras. All of it isn't worth anything if you don't have good, crystal clean audio.
Amen.
It's true.
And without the articulation, I know you're talking about DX. I listen a lot, and I hear foreign stations, and I can't understand.
Can't understand them. That's right.
You know, and a lot of times I'm thinking, you know, if there was just a little bit more EQ, if you could just hear those consonant sounds, you know.
Well, if you were in my workshop today, that's what I talked about most of the time. Today, everybody expects me to do microphone. We know all about that, right? Well, okay. But today, I featured a little bit more on receiving, because every one of the present-day receivers, transceivers, have horrible, terrible amplifiers. And what's interesting, you've never seen a spec sheet. I'm not a spec sheet guy. I hate spec sheets because they're usually written by marketing guys. You've never seen any kind of distortion factor, output factor of anything of these $15,000 transceivers all the way down to the $500. They never talk about their receiver. Why? Because every one of them are using a little 1 or 2 watt chip at 10% distortion. They got a 50-cent speaker in a $100 box. They paint it the same color, tell you it's matching, and we have been fooled for decades. It's time for that to end. And how you do it is you go out and you get you a little Behringer, one of these little $50 mixers. It's got hopefully 3-band EQ. That's the key. You come out of the product detector. Every transceiver today of any account, when you buy it, you get that little plastic bag that's got a fuse and that funny-looking little plug, and you never open it because you put it in your drawer, right? Well, pull it out, plug that in the back, and figure out the audio pins, ground and audio. Come out of that product detector and go into this Behringer. Then you come out of the Behringer and you go into a pair of JBL near-field monitors. Now, these things are amazing. They use them in expensive studios for near-field monitors. They have 35-watt amplifiers in them, two amplifiers, at 0.1% distortion. Now, go listen to that DX guy you're talking about. And you equalize the way you need him, you can get rid of a lot of noise that your noise limiter didn't, and you'd be amazed the articulation you can pull out of those receivers by having that setup. And I know you're going, oh, this has got to be expensive. The boards are $40 to $50. A guy told me today in the booth, he'd been listening to Ham Nation about me yelling about these Control 2Ps, JBLs. He bought it for $100 a pair on eBay. Now think about this a minute. You get a pair of 35 watt amps at 0.1% distortion, a tweeter and a little 5-inch speaker, beautiful package, sounds great, and that mixer, $150. You paid $2.50 for a stupid matching thing that's just a little junky speaker. Come on. But people don't think about it. Nobody's talking about it. Because the dealers aren't selling it, so it's gone by the wayside. No, bring it back to focus. Put that on your. I don't even care if it's just a shortwave listener. You are not going to believe what you've been missing by not having some form of equalization and decent audio amplifiers. And that's the way to do it. Control 2P for power, JBL.
Well, you know, that's one thing that I liked. I was just going to say about this little radio. Is it's got selectable bandwidth. You go out to 6 kilohertz,
sure.
Plug that into a pair of speakers, and it really sounds sweet, you know.
Yeah.
But I'm with you. I believe most of these ham transceivers, they just don't sound good.
No.
You know, it's kind of like, what's the problem?
No.
And you're hearing anomalies in their audio.
That's right.
And that's probably coming from the amps you're talking
about. That's right. You know? And you crank up the audio to hear things, and you're just distorting the monster out of the signal you're trying to hear. And it's all about the receiving audio system in the transceiver or the receiver. Get rid of it. Come out of the product detector. It bypasses all that nonsense. Do your own EQ. Beautiful. Beautiful. And I find this also. The headphone amps and those things are junky. Well, the little Behringer's got a headphone amp. I use a headphone amp in it, and it is gorgeous. But it's made for recording studios. And you can have one for $50 and $100 or $150 for the pair of speakers. It's great.
It's a great point.
Yeah. It is. It's you know, but there's a whole lot of, I guess I want to say a whole lot of meat on that chicken leg. You know, really for your... For the average guy who would think that they're, I mean, and I'm talking about if you take the economy radios that you're talking, you know, let me say economy radios, I'll just pick one at random. The ICOM 718 is one, okay? And you connect audio to that radio. I don't know if it has a product detector on it or not. I have absolutely no idea. But I know that I've heard the Behringer mixers and speakers connected to a 718, and I don't know if it came out the product detector on the back or if it was just wired to the inside of the radio, but it made a incredible difference on the receive end, especially up in the higher frequencies when you're listening for See, the thing about people love shortwave because it rolls, you know, it has this phasing effect, you're going and coming and all that, you know, and it makes music sound just magical when you're playing it, you know, and But when you're trying to understand something, and the person has an accent, and a different way of saying things, then all of a sudden, now it becomes a real task to try to make out what they're saying. So every little bit that you can squeeze out is better. Now, how common is the product detector output on rigs? I mean, is it just like on
just about
on.
All of them. I don't know that the lower costs are, but here's what I do with some of those. If it doesn't have the DIN plug in the back, go out of the speaker out, but keep it way down.
Well, the distortion's the lowest, yep.
And it won't have distortion, and you got plenty of drive then to drive the mixer, but just keep it way down. And what a lot of people miss is the RF gain. You want to back the RF gain down just a little bit. It gets rid of some of the noise and stuff, and big strong signals especially. But yep. it's a wonderful thing if you experiment with some of this, and it's all about audio. And we're so thrilled that a lot of this is before us and isn't costing a fortune. Well, I have to go, everybody. Good night and good morning to some. And thanks a lot for inviting me down, Ted.
All right.
Good to see you.
Bob, wait, come by and see us tomorrow before you leave. I know you'll probably be catching a flight.
Ladies and
you're
gentlemen,
have to pack
Bob
up.
Heil. Hooray.
The secret about Bob Heil is being able to catch him where you can get him to talk like this. Because you could learn, you know, an encyclopedia, you know, on audio. But he's a busy guy. He's hard to track down.
It's all
know?
In my book. You know? Radio.
Heil Ham Radio.
Thanks. Gotta get that. Okay. Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Gotta get one. All right. Thanks, Bob.
Well, George, I was gonna say you're.
We'll see, man. Good to see you.
Yes, you're welcome. We have. Let's see, who's left here? We got Bob Allison here. We got George Thomas here. And Tom Medlin, W5KUB, is here. I almost said, well, go to W5KUB.com and you can see what we're doing here, but I just caught myself to realize that we're not doing that right this moment.
I think it's about time for me to go up here and go to bed because I've got to get up tomorrow early and hit the second day of the Huntsville Ham Fest.
That's exactly right. Yeah, we really need to do the same thing, too, because we're going to be on the air. And I don't know what you're doing tomorrow, Bob, but I'm sure.
I have a presentation about what the ARL Laboratory does at 10 o'clock here at one of the embassy suite rooms. I think it's Redstone. And I'll be at the ARL table meeting and greeting and checking out ARL renewals, membership renewals, and just talking to the folks here. Everybody down here in Huntsville has been absolutely wonderful. I'm so happy I made the trip down from Newington, Connecticut to see this place. The venue was awesome. If you've never been to Huntsville, and even if you're not a radio amateur, but you want to see everything there is to do about radio and go to some very interesting forums, please come to Huntsville next time around, about this time next year. Stop by, and you get to learn an awful lot about amateur radio and radio in general. It's a great place. And you'll see Ted Randall.
And it's the friendliest ham fest in the world, is what they call it here. And it's very family orientated. You know, you're going to have, you see families here. It's not just.
There's a lot of kids.
Know,
yep.
Yeah. And there's plenty of things to do here, too, you know, outside of the ham fest. I'm going to get out of here, Ted. But hey, I would just want to invite everybody to tune in to the webcast tomorrow, W5KUB.com. We got a bunch of prizes we got to give out. Well, in fact, we got so many. I don't think we're going to get them all out tomorrow. But tune in, and all you got to do is just be there. And if we call your name, you win a prize. And we got some really nice ones there. And also join Ted and me on Tuesday nights, our ham radio and shortwave show, Tuesday nights, 8 o'clock p.m. That would be 0100 UTC on Wednesdays. And we have live guests there. That's also webcast on W5KB.com. And Ted is our co-host there, and it's also on shortwave WTWW on 5085. So with that, Ted, I'm going to say goodnight. Enjoyed meeting and talking to everybody tonight.
I think this has been cool. We've had a good day. Everybody's had a good time, you know. And George, tell us... Tell us where they can find you and where they can find your podcast and
okay.
Give us all the locations and everything.
Every Wednesday night you can watch Ham Nation Live by going to live.twit.tv, or you can just type Ham Nation into Google and it'll
It'll take you there.
We stream live at 8 p.m. Central Time. That is a 100 UTC. I always have to look it up on worldtimebuddy.com. I can't keep that
you're,
in my
you're
head.
Just like I am. I've got one of the Martin Juice 24-hour
I do too.
UTC clock in the studio. That's the only way I can do it, you know.
That'll be 0100 Thursday for the Wednesday show.
Okay. See, I would have been a day late showing up.
Well,
a day early, one or the other.
You know what worries me is these people that can calculate UTC in their head instantly. They, you worry me.
I just know 8 o'clock Eastern is 0 UTC. So 8 o'clock Eastern, 0 UTC. There you go.
There you go.
But you can also, and we hope you do, watch AmateurLogic.tv. It's the oldest running ham radio related video podcast. One of the oldest podcasts, period, because they've only been around about 10 years. So join us at AmateurLogic.tv every month around the 15th. We put out a new episode. We'll be celebrating 10 years in October. We've got a contest coming up for that. But we've got quite a bit of history. Go back and watch some of the older episodes and see how far it's come in 10 years, because we look pretty bad 10 years ago.
Awesome.
We just look older now, but it's in better fidelity, you know. And also, one other show that we're doing now is Ham College. You can watch that at hamcollege.tv. It's a show designed to for people who are new in the hobby, to kind of give them a little background on the hobby, some projects that they can do, but also to encourage new people to come into the hobby. And we go over the question pool. Currently, we're going over the technician pool. And we've already started hearing from people who have got enthused about it from watching that and gone and taken their exams, and they're new hams now. But anyway, there's a lot of resources for you out there on ham radio today via the Internet. Just do a little searching around. And what I tell everybody, I get emails practically every day, people wanting to know the answer to different questions, and I'll just give them my secret. Just go type it into Google and look it up.
Right.
Don't necessarily take the first link that comes up, but look a few pages down. You'll find somebody has had that same question before that you've got, and you'll find the answer. It's just a matter of looking. It's not like it was in the old days when we had to do this stuff in the antiquated textbooks and things like that. But Ted, appreciate you and everything you do with the QSO radio show and WTWW. Now, I've been listening to Ted Randall on there, and it's did I say Ted Randall? Yes, I've been listening to you, but I've also been listening to Art Bell. That's what I meant to say. And he is quite entertaining, too, and I'll agree. He keeps a straight face through some things I couldn't.
Seriously, it's theater of the mind, I believe, you know. There's a lot of subjects he gets on that are valid, and there's some that are just out there. And it's entertainment, though. I mean, if you're trying to stay awake in the middle of the night, I mean, it is the ultimate radio program to keep you on the edge of your seat.
I call it cerebral entertainment.
You know, and you know what? Yep. Some of the stuff that sounds crazy, how do we know? He had a guy on the other night that says he was a time traveler.
I heard that guy.
And he's doing, what was it? The fellow was doing teleportation is what it was. He was being teleported. He started being teleported at a very, very young age, you know. He sounded really convincing, you know. So how do you know, you know? I'll tell you what, though. Matt went out to Las Vegas for the National Association of Broadcasters. I don't know where they went. Somehow they went out the extraterrestrial highway or whatever it is, and they got off on some lonely road. I don't know where it was. They took some of the most amazing pictures of craft in the air over Area 51. It'll take your breath away. You know, I don't know what they're fooling with out there. To me, it looks like alien technology, you know. And then, you know, think about this, okay? Where did all this computer stuff start coming from? It was right after Roswell. I mean, I think about this.
The transistor came out in 1947. Suspiciously, Bell Labs had that right after Roswell.
You know, how do you know? I mean, how do you know? You know,
You're saying Bell Labs was involved in an alien conspiracy.
I believe that, yes. Very much so, yes.
Well, I mean, look at reverse engineering. I mean, if they actually had these craft at Area 51 and people were doing that, who knows? I mean, so what I love about listening to Art, first off, he's an absolute pro at what he does. I mean, there is nobody better at an interview. I listen to Art Bell and I think, boy, you know, I do interviews with people, but I'm a rank amateur in this arena, you know. But what he does do is he allows someone that really and truly, for all practical purposes, would sound like a fruitcake. And he allows that guy on the air, and he presents him in such a way that the theory and whatever the guy is purporting, you have to really give it some consideration. Now, you may only give it consideration for 15 seconds, but you'll have to give it some consideration. So, I mean, I don't know. The other night, he was talking about something where he had signed his call sign. And I forget what band he was on, but then he heard his call sign come back to him. And the way he described it, it couldn't have possibly been Moon Bounce, and it wasn't anyone tricking him, because he said when it came back, it was 20 over 9. You know, now, I've heard hams describe all kinds of anomalies like that, things that you just can't explain. You know, how would you explain that? I don't know how to explain it. You know.
I've had that exact phenomenon happened to me before, Ted, and it turns out it was a simplex repeater.
Oh. Yeah, but on HF, coming back 20 over 9, you know, you're kind of like, well, what is that about? I think I've, you know, the other thing, too, is I've talked to some amateurs that were just absolutely dead serious about the fact that they heard the call sign.
Speaking of aliens, I think we've got, there's some voodoo in the air tonight here.
Yeah, aluminum foil hat.
Yep.
Mardi Gras shirt.
Sir, what is your, like, what is your real
and
name?
He has a kilt on.
Yeah.
That's right. Okay. All right, so just to set the stage, I just came from the Wolf Honk ceremony where I was QRM.
Okay.
So, of course, I have a tinfoil hat. I have a purple, green, and gold Mardi Gras shirt. I have Mardi Gras beads with horns. With confetti on them hanging around my neck, and I'm wearing a kilt. People said, I love your costume. I said, it's a Mardi Gras shirt, and I have a kilt, and I live in New Orleans. They have costumes. I don't have a costume.
I can't believe they make a shirt those colors.
Oh, yeah. These colors should not, purple, green, and gold. These should not be together in nature, but they are.
I believe it was an alien abduction.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to QSO, and what you're listening to is a big old campfire in the lobby of the Embassy Suites in Huntsville, Alabama, that followed the Huntsville Ham Fest. So you'll just have to stay tuned and listen. Now, we're going to get right back to this, and we'll tell you more about it right after this. Here at the QSO Radio Show, we really need to hear from you. Go to our website. Simply QSORadioShow.com. That's QSORadioShow.com. And you'll see all the past podcasts up there and other information. But go to the part where it says email Ted and send us an email. And be sure and put on that email, I want to win, because always giving something away. Go to the website. It's simply QSORadioShow.com and send us an email. And while you're at it, be sure and friend us on Facebook, QSO Radio Show, and follow us on Twitter, QSO Radio Show. And thank you for listening. Let's talk just for a moment about QSL cards. And let me tell you about Mr. QSL, call sign K4JSG. The world's finest QSL cards ever guaranteed. Now, if you go up on this guy's website, you're going to find this note that says, please note, these are custom designed cards. If you're looking for a plain, ordinary, simple, basic, or any other word that's a synonym for boring, you'll be better off with a different card maker. Now, somebody make a statement like that, that should tell you something. The world's finest QSL cards ever guaranteed, K4JSG. Go to Google. Go to Google, put in Mr. QSL. That's Mr. QSL. The very first listing will be Mr. QSL. or K4JSG.com. How about a very, very selective and very sensitive portable shortwave radio that you can fit in the palm of your hand? That's right, a shortwave radio that's got also a very hot AM section on it, picking up distant AM stations that you wouldn't know were there. An FM receiver that's really nice, an FM stereo built in, the aircraft band so you can listen to the control tower and the pilots coming in, and also, of course, a very hot shortwave. A shortwave receiver that receives from 2.3 to 26 megahertz continuous with variable audio bandwidth switching. How about also NOAA weather included on this radio? That's right. You can hold it in the palm of your hand. It's not much bigger than a pack of cigarettes. It's called the SkyWave. We've been talking about this. And if you're a shortwave listener, you just can't live without one of these things. 400 memories. It comes with the power adapter, the earbuds. It's got a USB connector on the side for charging batteries, and it'll go 60, 70 hours on a pair of AA batteries. Is this all true? Yes, it is. We've accused Bob Crane of using voodoo to create this radio. Why don't you give the C-Crane Company a call? But before you do, mention WTWW, and you'll get the free retractable shortwave antenna that you can attach to the radio through a jack on the side and extend the antenna way out, or you can get the CC quick charger, which is a battery charger that it charges AA, AAA, CD, shows you the status of the battery, shuts off automatically when it's fully charged, and you can charge all your USB devices with this thing, including your cell phone. That can be free as well. It depends on what you want. Do you want the antenna or do you want the CC quick charger? All you got to do is mention WTWW. Now, why is that important? Because the folks at C-Crane want to know where the orders are coming from, because they're the ones that's bringing you the Art Bell Show on shortwave. And for them to continue this effort of this wonderful thing of midnight in the desert on a big, powerful shortwave radio station, they just want to know that you're patronizing them by ordering your shortwave radios from them. This SkyWave is unbelievable. You can get a hold of the C-Crane Company by dialing 1-800-522-TUNE. That's 1-800-522-TUNE or 1-800-522-8863. It's 1-800-522-8863. And mention WTWW. Or you can simply go to ccrane.com.
One of the things we noticed at the Dayton Hamvention was the number of people that came up to the QSO radio booth and said, "Hey, I got my ticket by studying with Ham Test Online. My wife got her license through studying with Ham Test Online. My son got his ticket. All of my kids got their tickets with Ham Test Online." I mean, it went on and on and on. And there's a reason why. I mean, I've looked at all different kinds of study materials for getting your ham ticket. And either there's a rule, they're either cram sessions where you just memorize the answers, or they're so technical that you can get the ticket providing you want to study for the rest of your life. But Ham Test Online is kind of a perfect blend of that. In other words, they teach you. You actually learn the material. They give you pictures, simple descriptions, however. Rather than a book that rambles on and on and on and on about something, it's concise. It's to the point. It's where your mind can grasp it. And then when you see that question come around again on the test, you're ready for it because you've got a brief overview. I mean, you don't know all the technical implications of some mathematical formula, but you have a good idea on the concept, I want to say, of how something works or operates. Therefore, you know how to pick the right answer. Now, if, say, you're studying and you get the wrong answer, it will feed you back that question again and again and again. And finally, you can't help but learn it. You can go up to Ham Test Online and literally spend hours if you wish, and it doesn't bore you. You don't feel like you're not yawning like reading into a book or listening to a tape recording or something. It's a very unique experience. If you know someone that you'd like to see get their ticket, give them a gift certificate. Give them a membership to Ham Test Online. If you want to upgrade and get the next license up, enroll with Ham Test Online. Don't fool around. Don't waste your time. The technician ticket's only around $20 for like 2 years. You can't miss. Go to their website. It's so simple. HamTestOnline.com. That's HamTestOnline.com.
Is it possible that a coffee roaster who has been blind from birth could make the best tasting coffee in the world? Well, I'm here to tell you that not only is it possible, but it's true. If you would like the most delightful, rich cup of coffee you have ever drank in your life, I'd like to invite you to visit the website of The Unseen Bean. That's The Unseen Bean, UNSEENBEAN. TheUnseenBean.com. Jerry Leary, amateur radio operator, shortwave listener, he is the owner of The Unseen Bean, one of the country's few blind coffee roasters. You will love his coffee. We want to invite you once again, go to his website, and that's TheUnseenBean.com. That's TheUnseenBean.com. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the QSO Radio Show, and we're bringing you a playback of a live broadcast we did on WTWW at the Embassy Suites in Huntsville, Alabama. It was a last-minute idea to have an oldies show in the lobby of the Embassy Suites Saturday night following the Hamfest and just have everyone gather around and tell stories and have a big time. Well, guess what? We didn't get a chance to play any oldies because the stories were just too good. So let's continue right now. You don't want to miss a minute of this broadcast from the Huntsville Hamfest Embassy Suites Saturday night.
That's right. See, so I'm all right.
Now let me ask you a question. With a tinfoil hat on, I don't guess I've ever really observed someone wearing one. Do you think you feel a lot more serene, like maybe there isn't anything bombarding your brain right now?
Your words are very long and multisyllabic, and I've had alcohol, so I'm not equipped to answer that question, Mr. Randall, but thank you so much for posing that query.
Oh,
we asked if it was hot.
I think some women might find it.
Yeah, some women find it hot.
You know, I'll tell you something. For folks that don't know and don't recognize the voice, we will identify this human being as Don Wilbanks.
Well, the real Don Wilbanks, please. Now, I have to be dainty when I sit.
Yeah.
Pardon me.
Keep your legs together.
Yeah.
Actually, I am going commando tonight because see, I have camouflage underwear on under here, so it's all good.
You know, you just don't know what you're going to hear on shortwave radio these days. I'll tell you, if you're tuning in, you just don't know.
That's right.
Well, congratulations on the Wolf Hog ceremony.
Thank you.
I think there's something really cool about the Wolf Hog, and I really wish there was someone out there that made these things that were, you know, replicas that look authentic, that, you know, that you could take and hang one on your wall or have it framed or something like that. But the one that really bothers me is the Ready Snitch. Now that thing, ooh, I mean, it looks just plain evil. You work in Newington.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Okay, so what does that Ready Snitch look like up close?
I don't know, but it looks like something that would remove polyps from inside.
Yeah.
That's what it looks like. But they're all instruments of torture that Hiram Percy Maxim came up with, and they're all reminders for all of us radio amateurs to be on our best behavior and to be a good examples for others. Otherwise, you'll get the wrath of the Wolf Hog or the Ready Snitch or the Oogarumph.
Yeah, the Oogarumph. That's the one that, yeah.
The Oogarumph is a horrible instrument of torture. It is horrible. It is a gigantic circle saw. I got a lavalier on.
Okay.
It's a circle saw, and it's about maybe 4 inches in diameter. It's meant to be worn as a crown. And on top of the circle saw is a Morse code key and a human vertebrae. And that is to be worn by all the worst fisted Morse code senders out there. If you got a rotten fist, look out, you're going to get the Oogarumph Award. Beware.
Does it, you know, I guess the thing of it is now I've never been to a Wolf Hog ceremony, but is the instrument used during the ceremony at all?
It's a secret.
I could tell you, but then I'd have to kill you.
That's right.
Exactly.
It's a secret. Can't tell.
Well, I guess for the longest time, maybe I shouldn't tell this story. I can tell it as long as I don't use the guy's name, right?
Is there a statute of limitations in play?
Anyways, well, I had gone to the league and I asked. I said, give me your expert on Wolf Hong. I want the most foremost Wolf Hong expert. I want to do a show about the Wolf Hong, just about the Wolf Hong. And I had a couple of guys act out this thing, and we had the radio drama part of it down, where we join this guy who is obviously an obnoxious, socially challenged ham who is on the air just corming the daylights out of somebody. I don't know, music and, you know, and you can hear him laughing in the background. He thinks it's the funniest thing, and these guys are saying, I'm sorry, I miss that. That guy got you. He's 20 over 9, and you're S9, and I just can't hear. And all of a sudden, the doorbell rings, okay, and he opens the door, and he immediately goes, oh, no, no, the Wolf Hong, no, get that thing out of here. And
that's
then he starts
funny.
Screaming, you know, like he's absolutely in torture and pain. So I never got hooked up to somebody, but the guy that they did hook me up to, I did an interview with him. And when I would bring up the name Harvey Percy Maxim, okay, he would come back. With, now what was
it? Did he say Harvey Percy?
Hiram. Okay.
Hiram.
When I brought up Hiram, he would say Harvey.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
And it was in the back of my mind, but he would do this every time. So.
I've been drinking, so I'm not exactly sure what you said
okay.
at this point.
Well, anyways, I stopped in the dead middle of this, and I said, you know, Hiram is such an unusual name. You don't hear too many
not
people
today.
Named Hiram, okay? And I said that, and then he came back, and he started telling the story about Harvey Percy Maxim. Okay, we'll try this again, you know. And I did this like three or four times, and every time he came back with Harvey Percy Maxim. And it's stuck in my head to the point now,
yeah.
You know, it's you know, but this guy was so creative, and I think this is an element I find, I mean, I'm glad to hear that you do this ceremony thing. I know that they do it, you know, different times.
It was my first time participating. I've been to a couple, but it was my first time participating. And when they told me I was going to be QRM, I'm like, well, hell, that's perfect. I can do that. I can do that in my sleep.
You did a good job.
Thank
but that,
you.
I guess what I was going to say is that creativeness, the Wolf Hong, the Ready Snitch, and whatever this other thing.
Ugrumpf,
whatever.
Yeah.
Gesundheit.
These things are, I think they're kind of a missing element. I think that type of humor is kind of, we've kind of abandoned it, except for the ceremony you're talking about. I think, I mean, that's a good thing. I think we need more humor. I mean, he was, you know, he would write those articles and sign them the old man. I mean, that just, yep. I mean, that's right up.
We also used to have Larson P. Rapp in QSC magazine. And Larson P. Rapp would write fictitious technical articles that would throw people for a loop, and normally they'd be published in April QST every year.
Shocker.
And sort of that tradition sort of continues on. And
Newsline has carried that tradition on with our roving reporter Pierre Poulin-Malleg.
That's a wonderful tradition to have.
Yeah, absolutely.
So the April Fool's joke continues, and even I got fooled when I was a younger ham. That there was this cover of QST that had a spectrum emitted from a Yagi antenna, and there was this some device that would help you visualize and be able to see RF streaming from an antenna. I thought that was the coolest thing, and I started reading it, and I thought, oh, they got me. And I laughed.
There was a spoof, though, that went on that I got caught up in, and there was a bunch of fellows that used to operate on 3895, okay? And they would start a fight on the air. And, I mean, it would get blistery. I mean, it would just get downright, you know, I'm going to do this to you, I'm going to do that to you. But it's going to happen at Dayton in front of the Heathkit booth on Saturday at 2 o'clock. It's going down.
No better place.
You know, so anyways, the first time I heard it, I heard this. This fight was just bloody on the air. And I don't think I'd never use any foul language. They never had to. I mean, they would just get into it, you know. And, of course, it was a spoof. And you'd go to the Heathkit booth at 2 o'clock, and here's all these guys laughing and carrying on and everything. And it was like holding a snipe bag
That's
in the middle of the woods.
Sucked you know? You in.
Yeah. And then, And then what they would do is they would let everybody in.
Look, Clark, we got another one.
Yeah. They'd let everybody in on it. The condition was is you needed to tell someone else about next year's fight in front of the Heathkit booth. And I wondered what happened to that or how it faded out. But
I never heard of that.
Oh yeah,
that's hilarious.
It was going strong. I remember. I remember being first victim. You know, going out there thinking, and I was telling these guys, some of them, I'd say, "Have you heard these guys on there? Boy, oh boy!" I mean, I was like, you know, you have a phone conversation going. They were in there last night. It sounded like they're going to kill each other. You know, they said, "Well, I'm going to go look at this because I can't believe." I wonder if they've got enough security there at Dayton to handle this. You know, and all you know. And they go get there, those guys are grinning and carrying on, and they knew they got. And there'd be a crowd. I mean, there'd be 20, 30, 40 people standing there, you know.
That's hilarious.
Just waiting.
Yeah. Just, you know, and I kind of miss that kind of tongue-in-cheek sense of humor about the hobby sometimes. I really think.
Sometimes we're so serious about the hobby that we miss the point. It's a hobby.
Absolutely.
And it's a wonderful radio service that we're involved with, but we have to have fun with it.
Exactly. It's supposed to be fun.
Yeah.
To me, ham police.
Ham police?
Ham police.
Yeah, ham police. That's right.
You're going to go to ham radio jail.
That's right.
Exactly.
You don't get UTC time right.
Right.
Oh, we get all kinds of things. We first started doing live broadcasts from, like, Dayton, and I get these nasty emails from guys saying, "How dare you operate 100,000 watts on the ham radio bands? Don't you know that's illegal?"
Here.
You know, and you know what? I'd write them back and I would say, "You know, thanks for letting me know."
That's right.
You know, but we're still going to go ahead with our broadcast. So, you know, you be sure and tune us in. And, of course, we'll be on some commercial frequency.
You might want to check a frequency chart there, Clark.
It's kind of funny because, I mean, they get steamed over it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I had a few phone calls that way. So, did you go watch the Wolf Hong ceremony?
I did.
And what did you think about that?
I thought it was different.
Different.
Put it that way.
He thought I was awesome.
Yeah, pretty much.
See?
Oh, me. Yeah.
Let me put you on the payroll. You need to come to work with me.
Once again, for folks that are just maybe tuned in, go ahead and give us your call sign.
This is KD8YVJ, Chris.
And how old are you, Chris?
I am 12.
And let me tell you something. He sounds on HF just like he sounds now, confident and ruling the freaking band. I'm tooling. Have another drink. And alcohol is a integral part of the Wolf Hong ceremony. I'm tuning across 20 one day, and I hear this call sign, and I'm like, "Oh, young ham, I gotta check this guy out." So I listen, and I listen, and I listen, and he says his call sign again. Say your call sign again.
Kilo Delta 8 Yankee Victor Juliet.
So I QRZ.com that bad boy right there, and I'm like, Chris, I know him. I met him at Dayton. You had almost passed your tech.
I missed it by one.
By one at Dayton.
By one.
And anyway, so then I'm like, "Dude, you're a general now. This is awesome." So, a field day again. We contacted each other on field day.
Twice.
First, it was like one of your first and one of your last contacts, I think, for field day. So, yeah. Oh, Chris is my boy. This is my.
There you go.
You're my boy, Chris.
You do sound not just confident, but you sound very articulate too, which is good.
Awesome.
You know, you may even consider getting into the field that Don and I work in on a daily basis. And
Chris,
that's commercial.
Oh. Tell him don't use the big words when I've been drinking.
I don't know any big words. I barely understand VOA special English.
Well, it's very rare that I'm not drinking, so it works out. You know, that is when we do Ham Nation, it's funny because I haven't, a lot of times in the pre-show warm-up for Ham Nation, it's on, you know, it's all done live on video on twit.tv. And so I'll have a beer or something. I know someone's manipulating my hat. I don't know who it is, and it doesn't really matter at this point.
There's a strange beam of light coming from up on top here.
I'm kind of enjoying it, actually. That made him stop, didn't it?
This is some circulating magenta lights up there.
Yeah.
One of the
most asked questions in the chat room on Ham Nation is, what is Don drinking tonight? Because I would have a beer or something, and occasionally a little, a tonic and water, or a tonic and, bourbon or something. So But, yeah, you know, so I really don't drink that much. I really don't. But tonight, you know, I've heard that alcohol is a very important part of the Wolpong ceremony. So, hey, far be it for me to buck tradition. So I brought my flask of Maker's Mark from work. I actually keep this flask, and it's a shame this isn't TV. I keep this flask in my desk drawer at work. And people ask me, why do you keep a flask in your desk drawer at work? I said, well, I work in a radio station. I deal with salespeople all day. And it's purely for medicinal purposes. And they look at me funny, and I go, yeah, for when I'm sick of being here.
Well, you know what you need to do. You need to keep that outfit. And on the next Ham Nation.
This is not an outfit. I live in New Orleans. This is. I wear this to work.
Okay, well, you need to wear that to the next episode of Ham Nation, but now for no explanation.
But they don't show me from the waist down.
Offer no explanation as to what it is.
I can do anything from the waist down or nothing.
That's right, because you're only on from the waist up.
See? It's just that theater of the mind, Ted. Yeah. Theater of the mind.
You know, John, we all know what you were doing before
what?
The ceremony.
What? Get on the mic. Before?
Yes, before
during,
the ceremony.
During.
And during the ceremony.
And after. I try to remain consistent, Chris. That's right.
Well,
now that you've lost complete control of this program.
Well, that happened when we first started this evening.
Years ago.
Yeah.
I'll drink to that.
And right now, Don will drink to just about anything,
pretty
I
much,
think,
yeah.
After this the Wolfong ceremony.
Almost empty.
So, what are you going to do when the canteen's empty? Which way will you be heading then?
Probably staggering back to the other hotel, which that should be entertaining. I'll say hi to the nice officer for you.
Okay.
Officer.
Yeah, him too.
Officer.
I was going to say, Bob, have you ever been, I mean, have you been involved in any of the Wolfong ceremonies?
No, I'm very, very, very frightened of the whole scenario. And I still haven't gotten up the courage to go through the Wolfong because...
Oh, you should.
Oh, I understand. It's full of very scary things.
It's very traditional.
Things you have to say and...
Scary? You should have been here tonight.
I dare anybody...
We had a taser.
Yeah, I dare...
An actual taser.
Yeah, I dare anybody to go to one of those things, but I'm terrified. I mean, you got to be really with it. And,
I didn't think it was
you know,
scary.
Do you know who the novice was? The novice who is the one who is actually... running the gauntlet in the Wolfong ceremony. I hope I'm not speaking out of school here because, you know, we are sworn to secrecy. The novice
secret.
Was Anna Veal, our young ham of the year at W0ANT.
Oh, wow.
And she was awesome. She's been involved with three or four of these things, so she's an old hand, but she was awesome. Anna was just amazingly awesome. And I want to say that in total 100% clarity, Chris's dad is here, so I am,
yes.
I'm not corrupting our young boy Chris, okay? Chris's dad is here, so he will straighten me out if I get out of hand at any point. So that's right. The iron fist of dad, that's right. So we're all good here.
All right. Well, listen, I think we're going to wrap this thing up because it's about time to wrap it up. I need to do a station identification because we are way past due. This is WTWW, Lebanon, Tennessee, United States of America. And we are live at the
Speak
embassy
for yourself.
You know, the embassy suites here in Huntsville. I want to Don, thank you for coming by. I appreciate it, and thank you for coming by, Chris.
Thank you, Ted.
No problem.
And Bob Allison, I've already said thank you so much. And
thank you. It was a wonderful opportunity to be on a station with 100,000 watts, and I love being on shortwave radio. It's kind of a cool thing. And thank you very much, Ted, for all the work that you do promoting amateur radio. I want to say out of the bottom of my heart, what you do for amateur radio is huge. And thank you for doing that. You're a great asset to the radio service and the hobby that we love so much. Thank you, Ted.
I'd just like to add what he said.
Okay. I was going to say, I'm just lucky that folks will put up with me.
that's pretty easy to do. You do a great job.
I have a very strange sense of humor and a very bizarre temperament, too. So it all goes together, you know.
Which is why you and I get along so well.
but, you know, I'll tell you something, though. In terms of the hobby, this young man here,
Chris,
whatever direction he goes in,
right.
This hobby will add tenfold to any education he gets or anything that he gets involved in.
Absolutely.
And the end result will be phenomenal.
You have all the building blocks in life right now with amateur radio. This is the foundation of your knowledge. You build upon that, and you build and build. And someday, you know, when you apply for that job after you're out of college, and someday you're going to have that resume, and in the bottom of that resume you're going to have amateur radio operator extra class. And having that little piece of information on that resume is going to open many, many, many doors because it shows that you're trainable and that you've stuck with something.
Exactly.
And you've seen something through. And that's what employers want these days and in the future. So but you keep at it.
And let me tell you another thing, Chris. Just a personal note from me to you. You have a friend for life in me. Okay? Anything you need, I'm right here for you until I am off this planet.
Okay, good to know.
All right, my brother, I love you.
Life goal is get on the space station.
I love you, Chris.
Live there for a month.
All right.
So I love you, Chris.
That's the goal. So.
Well, you know,
you're going to Mars.
Oh, I don't want to go to Mars.
Okay.
Not yet. We'll
see. The other thing I want to add, and that is the hands-on experience.
Yeah.
You know, you can't really describe it because it's when you get in a situation. And now all of a sudden, you need to have to draw on all of the resources, everything you know, and it all forms a synergy. You know, and then all of a sudden, you're able to solve a problem that a non-ham, I guess I want to say fellow worker, can't go there because he hasn't been there. And I always tell, like, for example, this one here, the younger son, the one that gives me all the trouble,
I have one of those.
Works as chief engineer for the Dave Ramsey Show, and they call him MacGyver because here comes a problem, you know, and you know, and he says, "Oh, wait a minute, we can fix that. All I need is a couple of coat hangers, you know, a little chicken wire, and a pair of tin snips, and you know, and five
chewing gum spit. We're done."
Yeah, and yeah. But hams.
Duct tape, yeah.
We
exactly.
are so good at this stuff. We are so good at finding solutions that other people wouldn't even think of. And a lot of that comes out of the ARRL handbook. A lot of it comes from pulling antennas up into trees. You know, it's.
That's how I was able to be a good broadcast engineer for 28 years. You had to find something. You're doing live television, you had to fix it right there and then. And it was your little smarts that you get from amateur radio that made you get through that broadcast and made things right on the air.
Fellow broadcaster, radio. Another one who can't get a real job. That may or may not be the alcohol speaking. I work for iHeartMedia. Just in full disclosure.
NBC.
The former Clear Channel.
NBC.
Well, I want to thank all you guys. I thank you for coming out. Of course, we had a whole crowd here earlier. And it was interesting to sit and listen to Martin Jew.
And Bob Heil.
And Bob Heil. We've had the cream of the crop here tonight. Bob, for example, W5KUB, you know, he's here tonight, Tom. I really think we really had the cream of the crop, and we had a good time. We basically partied on the radio.
Yeah.
We did. The way amateur,
some of us started before.
the way hams party.
A little bit.
To everyone listening, 73, we really appreciated you joining us tonight by means of radio. And the only thing I can say is keep it tuned right here to 5085 and 9930 for WTWW.
Well, that's all the time we've got this week for this broadcast of QSO. Now, you're going to want to hear the rest of this special broadcast from Huntsville, Alabama. And it'll be coming up next week as part two of the lobby broadcast. And once again, just imagine in your head a big old campfire in the lobby of the Embassy Suites in Huntsville, Alabama, Saturday night after the Hamfest. And that's what you've been listening to, everybody having a lot of fun. We'll continue next week, same time, same station, right here on QSO. Here at QSO, we hear success story after success story. We hear excited people telling us they just got their ticket using Ham Test Online. That's right. This is the easiest, most concise, as well as fastest method to get that ticket in your hand. Ham Test Online. No thick books to read, no DVDs, no CDs to wade through, no studying for hours and hours and then forgetting what you studied and no irrelevant information that you have to wade through in order to get to the things that are really on the test. Ham Test Online. Now, if you've already upgraded to Extra Class and you no longer need the services of Ham Test Online, we want you to think about this. Ham it forward. That's right. Ham it forward. Now, what is that? There's a lot of folks out there that would like to Elmer someone into the hobby, but you're not quite sure how to do it. Don't know if you could really tackle the project. There's folks out there that would like to teach a class of maybe three or four people or maybe larger, but you see that as a real undertaking. Don't know if you can quite handle that. Working with someone and getting them their ham ticket is one of the most satisfying things that you could do as a radio amateur and promote this hobby, moving it forward with new blood. That's why we have Ham It Forward. Now, this is a cooperative effort from Amateur Radio Roundtable, the QSO Radio Show, and the folks at Ham Test Online. All you have to do is get a subscription for a new prospective ham, and then just follow through with them a little bit and let Ham Test Online take them through the steps and get their ticket painlessly, easy, and fun. Keep this in mind. It's a new program. We're calling it Ham It Forward. We'd love for you to participate in this. Everybody knows someone that they would love to get into the hobby. Give a gift. Give the gift of the ham radio, amateur radio hobby by Ham It Forward. Go to hamtestonline.com. That's hamtestonline.com. Or look on the QSOradioshow.com website.
Is it possible that a coffee roaster who has been blind from birth could make the best tasting coffee in the world? Well, I'm here to tell you that not only is it possible, but it's true. If you would like the most delightful, rich cup of coffee you have ever drank in your life, I'd like to invite you to visit the website of The Unseen Bean. That's The Unseen Bean, UNSEENBEAN, The Unseen Bean. Jerry Leary, amateur radio operator, shortwave listener, he is the owner of The Unseen Bean, one of the country's few blind coffee roasters. You will love his coffee. We want to invite you once again, go to his website, and that's theunseenbean.com. That's theunseenbean.com. How about a very, very selective and very sensitive portable shortwave radio that you can fit in the palm of your hand? That's right, a shortwave radio that's got also a very hot AM section on it, picking up distant AM stations that you wouldn't know were there. An FM receiver that's really nice, an FM stereo built in, the aircraft band so you can listen to the control tower and the pilots coming in, and also, of course, a very hot shortwave. Shortwave receiver that receives from 2.3 to 26 megahertz continuous with variable audio bandwidth switching. How about also NOAA weather included on this radio? That's right. You can hold it in the palm of your hand. It's not much bigger than a pack of cigarettes. It's called the SkyWave. We've been talking about this. And if you're a shortwave listener, you just can't live without one of these things. 400 memories. It comes with the power adapter, the earbuds. It's got a USB connector on the side for charging batteries, and it'll go 60, 70 hours on a pair of AA batteries. Is this all true? Yes, it is. We've accused Bob Crane of using voodoo to create this radio. Why don't you give the Sea Crane Company a call? But before you do, mention WTWW, and you'll get the free retractable shortwave antenna that you can attach to the radio through a jack on the side and extend the antenna way out. Or you can get the CC Quick Charger, which is a battery charger. It charges AA, AAA, CD. Shows you the status of the battery, shuts off automatically when it's fully charged, and you can charge all your USB devices with this thing, including your cell phone. That can be free as well. It depends on what you want. Do you want the antenna, or do you want the CC Quick Charger? All you got to do is mention WTWW. Now, why is that important? Because the folks at Sea Crane want to know where the orders are coming from, because they're the ones that's bringing you the Art Bell Show on shortwave. And for them to continue this effort of this wonderful thing of midnight in the desert on a big, powerful shortwave radio station, they just want to know
that you're patronizing them by ordering your shortwave radios from them. This SkyWave is unbelievable. You can get a hold of the Seat Crane Company by dialing 1-800-522-TUNE. That's 1-800-522-TUNE or 1-800-522-8863. It's 1-800-522-8863. And mention WTWW. Or you can simply go to SeatCrane.com.
Let's talk just for a moment about QSL cards. And let me tell you about Mr. QSL. Call sign K4JSG. The world's finest QSL cards ever guaranteed. Now, if you go up on this guy's website, you're going to find this note that says, please note, these are custom designed cards. If you're looking for a plain, ordinary, simple, basic, or any other word that's a synonym for boring, you'll be better off with a different card maker. Now, somebody make a statement like that, that should tell you something. The world's finest QSL cards ever guaranteed, K4JSG. Go to Google. Go to Google, put in Mr. QSL. That's Mr. QSL. The very first listing will be Mr. QSL or K4JSG.com. One of the things we noticed at the Dayton Hamvention was the number of people that came up to the QSO radio booth and said, hey, I got my ticket by studying with Ham Test Online. My wife got her license through studying with Ham Test Online. My son got his ticket. All of my kids got their tickets with Ham Test Online. I mean, it went on and on and on. And there's a reason why. I mean, I've looked at all different kinds of study materials for getting your ham ticket. And either there's a rule, they're either cram sessions where you just memorize the answers, or they're so technical that you can get the ticket providing you want to study for the rest of your life. But Ham Test Online is kind of a perfect blend of that. In other words, they teach you. You actually learn the material. They give you pictures, simple descriptions, however. Rather than a book that rambles on and on and on and on about something, it's concise. It's to the point. It's where your mind can grasp it. And then when you see that question come around again on the test, you're ready for it because you've got a brief overview. I mean, you don't know all the technical implications of some mathematical formula, but you have a good idea on the concept, I want to say, of how something works or operates. Therefore, you know how to pick the right answer. Now, if, say, you're studying and you get the wrong answer, it will feed you back that question again and again and again. And finally, you can't help but learn it. You can go up to Ham Test Online and literally spend hours if you wish, and it doesn't bore you. You don't feel like you're not yawning like reading into a book or listening to a tape recording or something. It's a very unique experience. If you know someone that you'd like to see get their ticket, give them a gift certificate. Give them a membership to Ham Test Online. If you want to upgrade and get the next license up, enroll with Ham Test Online. Don't fool around. Don't waste your time. The technician ticket's only around $20 for like 2 years. You can't miss. Go to their website. It's so simple. HamTestOnline.com. That's HamTestOnline.com. Here at the QSO Radio Show, we really need to hear from you. Go to our website, simply QSOradioshow.com. That's QSOradioshow.com. And you'll see all the past podcasts up there and other information. But go to the part where it says email Ted and send us an email. And be sure and put on that email, I want to win, because always giving something away. Go to the website. It's simply QSOradioshow.com and send us an email. And while you're at it, be sure and friend us on Facebook, QSO Radio Show, and follow us on Twitter, QSO Radio Show. And thank you for listening. Well, that's all the time we've got this week for this broadcast of QSO. Now, you're going to want to hear the rest of this special broadcast from Huntsville, Alabama. And it'll be coming up next week as part two of the lobby broadcast. And once again, just imagine in your head a big old campfire in the lobby of the Embassy Suites in Huntsville, Alabama, Saturday night after the Ham Fest. And that's what you've been listening to, everybody having a lot of fun.
We'll continue next week, same time, same station, right here on QSO.